RSN 927, radio broadcast partner for ID 18. Lap up all the action of the Tab Inter Dominion.
Oh, it's been a great start to ID 18. The second round of heats tonight come to you from Ballarat, and the two men who know the most about harness racing anywhere around the world, right now anyway, because they're in our studio, are the guru, Jason Bonington. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Michael. Yeah, no, it's been an explosive start to ID 18, that's for sure.
And the master, Adam Hamilton, great to have you in the studio, mate.
I feel like I'm returning home, Michael.
You
are.
It's
been so many, particularly Sunday mornings here in the great days of doing correct weight, but terrific to be back with you, and just as it's terrific to have the Inter-Dominion back. And with the Inter-Dominion comes great racing and guaranteed controversy.
Well, we've already got that. I want to have a quick snapshot of what both of you gents thought of the first round of heats from Saturday night. But Adam, can you tell us the controversy you speak of? The news yesterday was the withdrawal of Let It Ride. What's happened there?
Yeah, so there's six horses have come out across both the trotting series and the pacing series so far. Five paces are out. Now, that's not unexpected, because the Inter Dominion's a pretty grueling thing on horses. But the Let It Ride situation and stablemate Italian Delight was unusual, let's put it that way. So my understanding is the stewards contacted Tim Butt to check on both horses. Both horses performed miles below their best on Saturday night. So, you know, as the stewards would want to. And at that stage, Tim revealed that he'd had some blood samples taken from the horses to be tested. And I believe that took place yesterday morning. So under the rules of this series, you can't take any blood samples. You can't inject a horse at all from midnight the day before they race. So the cutoff to take any bloods was midnight Sunday, and the bloods were taken on Monday morning. So that was end of issue. The rules had been broken at that stage, and the horses had to come out. The only part that Tim was a little anxious about was the wording was that the horse had been administered an injection. So Tim's stressing nothing was put in, but blood was taken out to be tested. So, look, there's going to be a lot of debate around whether the rule should be in place and all that sort of thing. The bottom line is that it is, and when you enter a series, it's your responsibility to know the rules, and Tim Butt's not getting away from that. He's embarrassed, and he's the one that's got to tell his owners that effectively he's the reason they're not in the series anymore.
Gee, what a massive blow for Connections.
Let It Ride was favourite to win the final about, 8 weeks ago? Gee.
Yeah, a real major player. I mean, losing Shadow Sachs was one thing, because he was one of the real headline horses of the series anyway, but we couldn't do anything about that. He was stood down by the vets on Saturday night, and I think everybody knew we were in a lot of bother to try and get him up for Tuesday, and if you can't be there for the second round, you're not there for the series. But the Let It Ride one has really come out of left field, and I think it's difficult for the series to lose a horse like Let It Ride. The only saving grace, boys, is the fact that he was so disappointing on Saturday night. It probably would have been hard to get him up for Tuesday night to run well. And there's every chance that those blood tests, now extremely controversial blood tests, are going to come back that he did have a virus, and probably the whole team has a virus, and that's going to be the reason why he wasn't performing at his best. So fingers crossed, really, for the team that they can move through this. There's really big targets that they can now focus on. Perth was mentioned. I'm not sure whether that's 100% on the cards.
It's a rough chance.
Yeah.
I think he's actually more likely to run in, if he's okay, the free-for-all on Inter Dominion final night, and then he may go through the country cups towards a Hunter Cup here. My Field Marshal, a Miracle Mile winner, will probably go to Perth for the stable.
Very good horse. So we've lost him from the series, but we move forward now.
And a snapshot from the first night. Where
don't underrate the Kiwis under any circumstances, Adam. Listen, understand, anything that races in blue with silver stars is a serious horse.
Well, I'll tell you what the most interesting fact is. Spankham basically was teetering on not coming.
Oh, he wasn't coming.
He was a last-minute inclusion. Very few Kiwis have come here. A tiny All-Stars team, yet they still win two of the pacing heats. And Spankham was pretty much, he hadn't hopped in the back of the car to come over. And then all of a sudden they said, "Oh, chuck him in. There's a bit of room in the back of the car." And
yeah,
now he's come over here.
Seat.
And he was the revelation of night one, I would have thought, Spankham. His performance was unbelievable. And Natalie Rasmussen, it's sometimes hard to read between the lines with Nat. She's pretty cut and dried, but she, reading between the lines myself, I feel like she's saying there's not a lot between Cruz Bromac and Spankham at the moment.
Well, it's stunned me, but she has come out and gone on record saying, "I haven't decided who I'm driving in the final yet."
Really?
Amazing.
And before the series, 100 out of 100 people would have said, well, it's not even a decision. She'll be on Cruz Bromac.
Family Feud, there would have been 100 respondents that said Cruz Bromac is the one.
What price was Spankham before Saturday night? Do you,
$21.
$21 against $5 for Cruz Bromac.
So he's $7 now, and we've got five under $10. We know there's no superstar, but that's what the other side of the coin is.
It's the beauty of this series. I still think that any of seven or eight horses can win the pacing final.
Yeah, we did a sort of a quick vox pop the other day. We came up with seven. You could make an argument for maybe 10 even, really. But seven, there's probably seven crucial chances, and they'll be the seven in the market. Probably it cuts off at Galactic Star. He's around the $16, $18 mark. Below that, it's really hard to make a persuasive argument, but it's a pretty nice position to be in to have seven horses after round one you genuinely think, under the right circumstances, can win the Inter Dominion.
It's different in the Trotters series.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's very different
in the
Trotters series.
And those, the rumours last week, all put to bed?
Well, I think Tornado Valley went all right last Saturday night. Don't rip the scab off, all right? It's just healing for Jace. So.
We went into a little bit of therapy, Andy Gaff and I, and Kate unfortunately wouldn't attend the first session, but there's been some couples counselling there and everything.
Well, you were doing a lot of counselling on Saturday night. I've never seen you speak to them more than you did, and it was great for the coverage too. So what a race tonight, though. So the two favourites in the Trotters series, the two stars of this series in Tornado Valley and Speeding Spur come together, and we've got this quirk of harness racing where Tornado Valley is a clear favourite to win the final, but he's a distinct outsider against Speeding Spur tonight.
Well, I don't think he should be for a start. I think he's a great chance of winning, but it's almost like, from a tennis perspective, if you go back 5 or 6 years, Tornado Valley and Speeding Spur are Federer and Nadal, but we've got Save Our Pennies and Mulry Law now as Djokovic and Andy Murray virtually. They're sitting there, and Save Our Penny's performance was very, very good on night one. And I was so interested to hear Andy Gath say, straight after that race where it finished second to Tornado Valley, he's the horse we were most worried about in the series, prior to the series. So to see him perform so well on night one, and Mulry Law, people will say he was comfortably beaten by Speeding Spur, but the speed that he showed from back in the field and the fact that he was first up since the Bill Collins mile, he's a legitimate threat, and he's drawn by far, and I mean by far, the easier of the two heats tonight.
Yeah, he has. I think there's two major players in the final. There's about a three-quarter major player in Mulry Law, and there's probably a half to three-quarter major player in Save Our Pennies now. Yep. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and I guess,
and Kai Valley Blue has now dropped off the radar after night one, I thought.
Totally off the radar. And the post-race comments, Ashley Brennan doing a great job on social media. She caught up with some of the beaten drivers, and Chris Alford was pretty damning, pretty scathing about Kai Valley Blue's performance. So if you're willing to forgive him, you're probably less willing to forgive him after hearing what the pup had said. Tough Monarch might be the other one, but he's drawn poorly tonight, and he needs to hit his straps. He's going to be a lot better when we get to the long-distance races, though.
So if we're going to have a bet tonight, then, in the first trotting heat, which is race number four at 7:32, which Mulry Law is in.
Sky Petite each way for me. I think she'll find the front. I think she'll... Fabrication can get a little bit rocky, and I don't think it'll be that upset if it's got to sit behind Sky Petite, who won't hand up anyway. I know Jace is probably pushing Big Jack Hammerott. I thought he was good. He had a cosy run and finished off really nicely. He'll be rushing out. I don't think he can get across Sky Petite. And Mulry Law, let's be honest, if Mulry Law can see daylight at the right time with the speed it showed, it'll just pick him up and spit them out. But that's the big question, isn't it?
Well, there's multiple questions, really. The sprint lane hasn't been used that often at Ballarat. Of course, we've only had one meeting there. So if Mulry Law does follow through, we're going to learn a little bit more about the sprint lane, because he should be able to pick them up and spit them out. Nobody's closer to guys like Luke McCarthy than you. Have you had a chat with him, and do you know what the plans are with Fabrication?
No, I honestly haven't sort of spoken tactics with him. I no doubt the team will want to get out as well as they can, but Sky Petite gets out seriously quickly, and Fabrication can get a little bit rocky, so I think Sky Petite will get across.
They've both been back, the one and the two, as the only horses who can beat Mulry Law. I'm happy to say at $2.40, we might look back on the race and say that that's huge overs about Mulry Law, so I'm happy to have a good bet on Mulry Law at $2.40 and hope that everything pans out in transit.
You've mentioned we've got the two big guns in the second heat. Who are you going to side with tonight then?
Oh, I'm with Tornado Valley.
Yeah.
I'm pretty surprised they're not equal favourites. Speeding Spur looked, optically, it was a walk in the park, but on the clock, he just got such a soft first 1,000 metres, and he really only had to run home for about, 1,200 metres after that. So, whereas Tornado Valley had a serious test out, Tough Monarch was there to make it a tough race. I think Tornado Valley is a little chance of being able to get across to the front, and even if he's got to sit parked, I think he's got that X factor speed-wise where he can still win. So 250, 260 is good odds for mine.
The highlight of night one for me virtually were the surprises. Everybody had their maps planned out. Everybody thought they knew it was going to happen, and almost none of the heats panned out exactly as people thought they would. Now here, people will look up or pick up their form guides and say, save our pennies to the front, Speeding Spur gets the lead, Tornado Valley's parked. But there's so many potential flies in the ointment here, really. Rumpus Monarchy can get out extremely quickly and might be having a dash, particularly over the short course, because she's a specialist miler. Tornado Valley might be able to get across them all very quickly. Gavin Lane might want to hold the front with Save Our Pennies over 1,710 metres. This is a much more confusing race than I think people have deemed it to be when they first opened the market and first looked at the form guide. I think the one that can endure the most obstacles, in fact, I know, is Tornado Valley. He's got an exceptional record even when he's forced to sit parked in his races, and that's why I reckon they'll nearly be each of two. I wouldn't be surprised if Speeding Spur still starts the race favourite, but I reckon they're going to be very, very close to each of two by the time they go around.
It's 175 v 260.
I won't be like that, I don't reckon.
Yeah, Kate Gath was telling me that her and Andy had gone back, and I think in 12 months at Melton, Tornado Valley is one of only four horses that have been able to sit parked throughout and win in a race. That's how hard it is to do the work he's done in some of his races. So,
and he's done it
incredible stat.
He's done it multiple times, and you think to yourself he's probably better over a trip, but the last time he sat parked over a short course was in the Uncle Patrika Trotters free-for-all, and he absolutely brained him in fast time. So he's just a complete racehorse.
Was that the Cranbourne
powers.
One?
It was at Tabcorp Park. Well, yeah.
Cranbourne was career best win.
Unbelievable. And that, I mean, Sky Petite, who's a pretty handy customer, just put her to bed, and that was in the big race, the cup there at Cranbourne over a trip. So he asserted his superiority over a trip there, but he's equally effective over short course journeys.
First of the paces heats tonight is race six at 8:32. And gee whiz, this is a cracking heat because you've got Rapper's Delight, who's off the pole. You've got your mate San Carlo. You've got Spankham and Tiger Tara, who just had no luck last Saturday night.
No, didn't. Driven conservatively and absolutely flew home. So I think it was a bit of a finding out mission for the team as to whether he was right back on song. And to
me,
he showed that he was. Oh, loved the run. Thought it was great. He hit the line beautifully and by his standards had a pretty soft run. But Rapper's Delight gets all the favours from the draw. Almost certainly the leader. I think Motu Media will come out and have a real crack early and, you know, get into a nice spot. It's got a chance at massive odds to at least run a place, Motu Meteor. San Carlo probably outside, Rapper's Delight. Maxi Man gets the run in behind them and was enormous on night one. And Tiger Tara and Spankham, how seriously are they going to want to get into this race? That's the question, isn't it? San Carlo's not going to give away the breeze, so what do they do?
You wouldn't have thought so. I think Spankham will be driven really conservatively for a top four finish here, hopefully. Tiger Tara might be let rip a little bit more. Certainly, our colleague Greg Hayes is purporting a theory that from wide on the second row, you try and follow through behind San Carlo and try and get into the race as quickly as you can. But as you mentioned, I don't think things.
But what if you're stuck through?
Well, that's the risk that you take. I think the key takeouts for this race, Rapper's Delight, we said there's seven winning chances right now. Rapper's Delight's one of them. If he leads and doesn't win tonight, I'll scratch him as a winning hope. He has to win tonight, and he has to win relatively impressively because he'll get all the favours.
Yeah, his last 50 metres just worried me a little on Saturday night, but maybe that was Kimmer just easing him up because he'd had a pretty hard run into the race. My bet in a ripper race, the strongest of the pacing heats, is Something A Place, Motu Media, or at massive odds. It's $9 or $10 a place.
Yes, I'd say straight out a win on Rapper's Delight. You probably have to play multiples, and we've already mentioned, make sure you include Maxi Man. They paid the $20,000 late fee, and it looks like it's going to pay off because if he runs top three tonight, he'll make the final.
I'd say the second heat's probably the weaker one now that we've lost Let It Ride.
What and do we Shadow do? Sacks.
And
too,
Shadow
yeah.
Sacks. What do we do from a punting perspective?
Well, I think it'll be a major shock if Pat's Delight doesn't win on what we saw on night one. On every measure, I thought he was as good as Spankham because he had to spend that early petrol in the race in an unsuccessful bid for the lead. I don't know that he's the leader. He gets out well, but not blistering. I thought Joe's Star Amia, if it found the front, would run a mighty race here. It's a 149-mile winner after burning off the gate at Menangle. So, and nothing went right on night one. But I'm the Boss is going to come out charging as well. Could be fireworks early. No, I'm happy to have something each way, Joe Star Amia, but common sense says I'm Pat's Delight will win.
Yeah, I reckon I'm Pat's Delight actually will lead and win. I've gone back through the replays, and while he hasn't often led in his races, he has got the speed if required, short course trip. Do you really want to be handing up to a horse like Joe Star Amia, who's a nice horse, but, you know, I'm Pat's Delight, I think, will be leading and winning. Best bet in the race for mine is Can't Refuse the Place. I love the run on night one, I reckon, from three poles around Ballarat with a couple doing work in the running line. The Can't Refuse might be able to bustle through and grab second or third. And I'm not sure, well, he can't win the series, Can't Refuse, but I think this is going to be a great grounding for him going forward because, as I say, I loved his run on Saturday night.
And the final of the heats, we've got Cruz Bromac and Galactic Star who've drawn outside of the second row. So what does that do for this heat?
You'd almost swear it was a preferential draw to make it an even contest. It's a real conundrum because they've got a stack over their rivals ability-wise, but those draws over 1,700 at Ballarat, and now that there's a sprint lane, will make it even harder for those sort of draws. They're real levelers. I thought Cruz Bromac was disgustingly short odds. I think he should be closer to $1.80 or $2. So I can't play at the markets. I can't see Galactic Star winning from that draw. But it's got to be said, if you're looking for horses to beat them, you're trying to back B-graders to beat A-graders, and that's always a worry.
I think the issue here is if it was a final, let's be black and white about it, Cruz Bromac will win the race, end of story. But it's a second heat. He's already won a qualifier. He's probably not going to absolutely love Ballarat, so he's the one to beat, but on with Adam. $1.40 is ridiculous. He'll get out even further from there. Galactic Star has drifted out to $11. I think each way on maybe one by three, he's still the bet in the race because the two major rivals off the front line are Audi Hare and MacDoro. MacDoro was just night one, and Audi Hare is a B grader, even if he's in front. So they can probably run a 153 mile, but the two off the back row could probably run 152 going half pace. So you'd think that one of the two big guns will still win, but you can probably stagger up a few different ways to play the final leg of your quarters here.
I'll just have something tiny on Village Witch and MacGregor here at really big odds. Village Witch caught the eye on the replays, and if MacGregor was able to bludgeon its way to the front, I think it'd run a great race.
Gents, it is going to be another cracking night, and the great news for all the harness fans and racing fans is we'll get to see all the action up close and personal live tonight on Sky 2, which is open to all households this evening, and a special one-hour preview starting from 5 o'clock, is that correct?
Yeah, special edition of In the Gig with Jace, Greg Hazy and Ben Way on that one. Special guest Jody Jamison on the show as well. So, yeah, it's open for all 5 to 6 In the Gig and then the race night coverage. And we've had to get Jace a special pedometer for tonight because judging by our experience in Bunbury last year, Gareth Hall, I think, covered about 23 kilometres on the night, and that's what you're in for tonight.
I think I could easily beat that, and it'll be a little bit cooler at Ballarat tonight than Bunbury, so I'll start early. I'll try and run a 26-second first quarter and see if I can't break Gareth's record. You'd think that I've got it in me. I would hope so.
Good on you, gents. Great to get you in the studio dissecting at night two of the heats. Bonners and Hamo, good luck tonight.
Thanks, mate.
Good stuff, mate. Thanks for all your support, and bring on night two.
Absolutely.